Let us continue our worship now by opening ourselves to how God speaks to us through Scripture. Our first lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke with some questions that Jesus has for us. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel. Jesus has been teaching people, and we read here that Jesus said to them, meaning his disciples, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so they might go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. He ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, I started a series of sermons with the lead-in line, "Jesus is the question." I wanted to explore some of the questions that Jesus asked throughout his ministry, because he asked more questions of people than he answered. Martin Copenhaver, writing about this, said, "Whatever else it might mean to follow Jesus, certainly it means letting Jesus' questions guide our lives rather than our own questions. Following Jesus is living into the questions that Jesus asks." And so we are going to engage some of these questions through the upcoming weeks. And I invite you to let them work upon yourselves and help guide your lives as we move forward in Christ's ministry. The question I want to focus on today comes from the reading from Mark that I shared just a moment ago. Jesus asked his followers, "How many loaves do you have?" The story itself can be classified certainly as miraculous. 5,000 people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But there's a principle in this narrative that is as accessible as it is profound for those who followed Jesus. He'd been teaching and healing the blind, the mute, and the sick all around that region surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And this particular leg of ministry went on for some time as people committed their time and energy to be there in Jesus' presence. That part of it reminds me of stories that I've seen, and you probably have too, of people actually camping out, waiting in line for, you know, ticket booths to open for hot concerts that are coming up, or the people who waited 14 or more hours in line to pay respects at Queen Elizabeth's funeral. Our capacity to be disciplined at times and to commit time and energy to what we are passionate about is one of the great qualities we have as people. Now, the individuals described in the Gospels as the crowd were passionate about being in the presence of Jesus. They were there 3 days or more, and the writer tells us that Jesus felt compassion for them. And in a very practical, caring way, Jesus suggests to his followers that he doesn't want to send the people away hungry because, you know, he doesn't want them to feel bad for having spent time with him. And the disciples are quick to point out, well, this is a pretty desolate area here on this mountain. There's no food here. There's not even a McDonald's at the foot of the mountain. So they wondered, how could they respond to Jesus' desire to care for the people? And it's at that point that Jesus asks, how many loaves do you have? And they answered, we have loaves. And then in an effort to make it sound better, because there weren't that many, they said, we got 2 fish also. And Jesus took what they had and what they handed over, and he gave thanks for it. And the food became enough that we're told no one went away hungry, and even extra baskets were able to be filled. How many loaves do you have? This question, when applied to our faith and our discipleship, is really a question about gifts and what we wish to give over for Christ's use. It's a question about what God has placed in our hands. In this narrative, it applies to loaves and bread. And on this World Communion Sunday, I'm reminded that around the world today, and in times past, people are sharing loaves, and some of them are sharing a type of bread or something for communion that is different than what we use, but they make use of what's available. Talking with some immigrants from Ghana at a prior church, they remembered that in remote villages, they were still using stone ground flour, and even the communion bread had a little bit of extra grit in it because of that. The Korean church where my wife worked for a while often used little balls, cakes of rice, because that was common in Korea and what they used there. We use here, or have been at the table matzah in memory of the unleavened bread in the first Passover meal communion that Jesus shared with his followers. Other churches use whatever they can cut up, crusts removed, as if we were all little children. But whatever kind of bread, whatever kind of loaves we turn up and use, it is multiplied because it means that we have put the gifts that God has placed in our hands back into the hands of Christ. Kind of borrowing the tagline that Allstate uses, your gifts are in good hands when they are in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus will take what we have been called to steward and use those gifts we give to love and to bless the world. As some of us, well, we know we have gifts, but we don't always hand them over to God. Often we try to work things out on our own or on the basis of our own knowledge and ability, which is always a bit incomplete, shall we say? And trying our best without good advice sometimes does not work. A fellow pastor, whom I met in seminary in Chicago, where they knew how to deal with winter, tells of taking a church near Atlanta, Georgia, and in a first snowfall when he was there, a church member shared about how they don't know how to deal with snow in the South. And she remembered that when she first moved down to Georgia, and a big snowfall came upon the city, and she was listening to the radio for traffic reports and heard that somebody called into the station to which she was listening and reported that the salt trucks were in front of the snow plows, and somebody really needed to tell the drivers it needed to be the other way around. You see, we can have the gifts and resources that are needed at a time, but sometimes we don't know how to use them or what to do with them. The invitation Jesus offers when he asks, "How many loaves do you have?" is an invitation to put our resources into the hands of Jesus because he knows what to do with them. Another church I've been at served breakfast 3 mornings a week for anybody who wanted to drop in, and all of them were in need, many were homeless. The church did this with a partnership of 4 other churches in that immediate downtown area. And a weekday breakfast one day that I was there had concluded. And a lot of the guests and a lot of the volunteers were on their way out, but a few lingered around the piano in Fellowship Hall. And Gerald, one of the guests, pulled up a bench, and he started to play. And like a magnet, the music drew those of us who were left there, and we watched and listened as he made beautiful music. Now, Gerald had been a regular at the morning breakfast, at least the ones I made it to. Like most of the guests, he was one of so many individuals that we may label as homeless, but are actually so much more than their tired looks and tattered clothes. Every single person has a story. Every single person has gifts to offer the world. Gerald had a gift of music, and he shared it. And I learned that once when he was there at the church for breakfast and our organist was also dropped by, that he asked Al for sheet music that might be left over so he could practice and play. So Al regularly provided him with material. And over time, Gerald's practice and the skills and the support he had paid off, because he landed a job playing piano in the lobbies of two high-end department stores. And here is where this illustration becomes an invitation. I would like for us each to picture in our mind's eye Gerald, in effect, playing the role of Jesus. And we'll play the role of Al and the disciples. And like Jesus, when he was asked, "How many loaves do you have?" Gerald asks, "How many pieces of music do you have?" And Al gives him what he has, and Gerald takes it, multiplies it, and brings a blessing into the world. We all have something that we can offer Jesus and offer in the mission of redemptive love. And we all have loaves or fish or sheet music, gifts that when transferred from our hands and placed in Christ's become something beautiful and good within this world. We don't want to withhold those gifts, and we don't want to answer the wrong way, as Jesus said in our first reading. You know, what gifts, in effect, he asked, what gifts are you currently holding in exile, giving stones instead of bread? What we need to do is ask the question Jesus asked, what are the gifts in our possession that Jesus is asking us to put into his hands? How many loaves do we have? What kind of sheet music, in effect, do we have to pass on? I know I've mentioned before Arlene, who is a member of another church that I served, who was dealing with recurrent cancer, and with her at that point, it wasn't a question of when will you be well, but how much time do you have? As we talked, she did share questions, and we shared a lot of prayer. She possessed a deep faith and hope. And her husband, Kevin, supported her. We didn't see him often in church on Sunday mornings because work kept him away. But they both showed up at an Ash Wednesday service in the last year of her life. Arlene using a walker, and they sat there together. When the opportunity came to receive ashes, Kevin and Arlene came to the front. They had tears in their eyes as they made their way forward. They came to me for the imposition of ashes. And the customary Ash Wednesday words were very hard for me to say at that moment. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. And as I looked out on the other people there in church that evening, all eyes were on Arlene and Kevin as they gave themselves to God in this moment of worship. They gave themselves to God knowing that the part about to dust you shall return was going to be an inevitable reality probably before the next Ash Wednesday. And everyone there, I think, had that sense that we were all now on holy ground. For the gift that Arlene and Kevin put into the hands of Jesus was their very lives. They did surrender all to him. And because they did, the church had been and still will be blessed by their living, breathing testimony to the relentless grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's ask ourselves and dwell in the question. How many loaves do you have? How much sheet music do you have? How much of your life are you willing to place into the hands of Jesus Christ? All of it? Or what gifts do you still hold in exile? And what gifts are all of us being called to hand over so the Holy Spirit might use them to love and to bless this whole world? May we let these questions work on us for the sake of the gospel and the sake of the world. Amen.